Thank you very much. I hope that you will turn in your Bible with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Thank Brother Bill for the testimony this morning and also for the dollar and the dime. I appreciate that very much. I just want to remind our church a moment that we are in the midst of our stewardship emphasis, which we do every year. Today is what we call Tithing Commitment Day. And every member of our church was sent an email this week from me. And on the email was a digital tithing commitment card where you could actually fill that out and make your commitment online. And you might, some of you in the room today might say, well, I didn't get an email. Well, if you did not, there may be at least a couple of reasons why. Number one, we may not have your email address. And so if you're a member of our church and you didn't get one, make sure that we have your email address. And there may be another reason why some of you didn't get one. Number two is you may not be a member of our church. You may be a member of the connection group, but you're not a member of the church. And so there's a distinction there and a difference there. So if you never really have joined our church, then you may not have received one as well. But we want everybody who is a member to receive one. And hopefully most of you, if not all of you, got one this week. And also, if you did not receive one, we also have some hard copies that are out in the vestibule, also on the Welcome Center, that there's a commitment card there. And I would encourage you to find one of those and make your commitment. By the way, online, we have received already 55 commitments of people who said that they're going to give a tenth of their giving or offering in 2024. So we're grateful for those. But I want to encourage others of you, if you have not yet done that, please do that. And if you want to just find one of the cards that's here on the property today, you can fill that out, and you can put that in one of the drop boxes out in the hallway, or you can put it in the West Side mailbox out in the mall, or you can give it to one of our ushers, put it in the offering plate if you'd like to do that as well. So today is Tithing Commitment Day, and I encourage you to make that commitment that you're going to be faithful to God in giving the tithe. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I have come to what I'm calling today the first stewardship committee. And I want to read a passage of scripture to you beginning in verse 16 of the 8th chapter of the book called 2 Corinthians. And I want to ask you to join me in standing as I read our text today. And I read this text, let me just say to you up front that Paul is introducing to the Corinthian church a group of men that are responsible for taking care of the offering that he's encouraging them to give. And I'll say a little bit more about that and explain that a little bit later. But he's telling them that there are going to be some men who are responsible to take care of whatever you give. And I want to point them out to you as I read the text to you today. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I'm in verse 16, and it says this, "But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care in the heart of Titus for you." And just so you know, Titus, that's the first member of the stewardship committee. "For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches." Now, brother, that's the second member of the stewardship committee. We've sent with him another brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches of all the churches. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your mind, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. And there in verse 22 is the third member, the other brother, who says, and we sent with them our brother. That's the third member. Down in verse 23 is kind of a summary, verses 23 and 24. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, and our brethren be inquired of. They are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Wherefore, show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. And we'll stop right there and think a little bit about this first stewardship committee. Father, today we thank you for this time we've had to worship you. We thank you for music that stirs our hearts. And God, we pray that it's music that uplifts our Savior. And Father, we pray that now as we open up your word and we look into these verses, that you would speak to our hearts today. And God, as we think about this matter of giving, I pray that you would make all of us generous, extravagant givers. And Lord, I pray that as we give, that we as a church, that we'll be faithful with all the money that is given here. God, may we use it for your glory. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There wasn't a day whenever a man by the name of Jim Baker was a very well-known television evangelist back in the 1980s. He was an Assembly of God preacher, and he was on national television, and he had a very popular television program that was called Praise the Lord, and it was sometimes abbreviated PTL, Praise the Lord. And in 1987, that was a very prominent ministry. As a matter of fact, Jim Baker had some 13 million partners in his ministry, and those partners would send money to support his ministry. And that ministry had now accumulated by 1988 about 175 million assets. That included an amusement park, a luxury hotel, an amphitheater, and what became a very famous air-conditioned doghouse. On December the 19th, 1988, I want you to hear the date, December the 19th, 6 days before Christmas, 1988, Time magazine wrote these words: the federal government dumped a hefty chunk of coal into Jim Baker's stocking last week. In a 28-page document, the former top man of the scandal-plagued PTL television ministry was charged with 24 counts of fraud and conspiracy. And in 1989, he was convicted of all 24 counts and was sentenced to 45 years in prison. A judge reduced it to 8 years, and he served 5 years in prison. You say, Pastor, well, why do you tell us that story? I tell that story for this simple reason. It's very important how we handle God's money. We need to always handle God's money in a proper way. In our stewardship emphasis during the month of October, one of the things that I say to you and to me every year as believers in Christ, as members of our church, that we ought to be good stewards of whatever God gives to us. That dollar bill that Bill was showing to us a while ago, we need to be good stewards of that. And you understand that, right? You work very hard for the money that you earn. And then you also try to be very cautious in how you spend that money. You want to handle it in a right way, how you spend your money. You know, that's why you drive 10 miles further down the road so you can save a penny on that gasoline that was back down the road. You want to be very careful how you spend your money. You look at things, and that's good, right? That you evaluate. You want to be a good steward of everything that God gives to you. And I've been talking about that, but I want to turn the script a little bit today. Because it's not only important that you who are here and some who are not here, that we all be good stewards as God's people, but it's also important that we be good stewards as a church. And what I mean by that is that whenever you give, and that we would handle your money properly. And in a day of embezzlements and corruption, that seems like in ministry particularly, it has become almost commonplace, it is imperative that we be above reproach in handling all the tithes and offerings that God's people give. And so that's why I come today, these verses that I read to you that may not make a lot of sense to you right now. As a matter of fact, I know all of you are sitting on the edge of your seat saying, oh boy, he's going to talk to us about a stewardship committee. I'm sorry, that's the best title I could come up with. But lest we think, well, this really isn't important, it is important. I mean, if you were to read tomorrow morning or come and see on the news network that Westside Baptist Church, that the pastor or those in charge have been charged with embezzling God's money, it would become really important to you at that point, wouldn't it? And so it's important to us that we handle God's money properly. And so what we're looking at here today is the first stewardship committee. And somebody might even say, well, what is a stewardship committee? Well, if I were to just kind of give you a general definition, a stewardship committee is a group of people who oversee the finances of the church. But if I were to give you a particular definition, I would have to go to our church constitution and bylaws, which I did that, and I know you read them all the time and are very familiar with them. My tongue is firmly in my cheek in saying that, all right? But the Constitution and bylaws says about the stewardship committee, it says this is the committee that works with the pastor and the staff in developing an annual budget, developing a year-round stewardship education program, and reviewing all financial affairs of the church. So according to our Constitution and bylaws, this is a committee that works with the pastor and the staff in developing a budget, which next Sunday morning you will be given a copy of the proposed 2024 budget. It is also the committee that puts together what we're doing here right now in the month of October, what we've been doing, some kind of a stewardship emphasis to educate us on Christian giving. And also they review the receipts and the disbursements coming our church. That's what a stewardship committee is. And the first one that you find, as far as I can find, in the Bible is in my text today. And it was formed whenever the Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Corinth and was telling them, we're receiving an offering for the poor saints that are at Jerusalem. You promised a year ago that you were going to give. And you started out well, but you quit giving. And now Paul is writing to say to them, now I'm encouraging you to give. And I believe that you're going to give a very generous offering. And I'm sending some guys who are going to take the offering, three men. I'm going to send them to you, and you're going to give the offering to them. And what Paul was saying was, I want you to know that these men are trustworthy men. You don't have to worry that they're going to squander your money. It's going to get to where it's supposed to go. And so Paul had done what we've done in our church, had put together a committee of three men to handle the money and make sure that nobody accuses them of misappropriating the money that they're giving. Is that making sense to you today? So that's what he's talking about. Now, we follow that. We don't have a committee of three. We have a committee of nine. And they do basically the same thing. They develop a budget. They collect the money. They count the money. They do all those things to try to make sure that we're good stewards of God's money. So I want you to look at this with me today. We're going to look at these three men. Who were the men who were on the first stewardship committee? And I want to say a word about each one of them. I want you to look with me in verses 16 and 17. The first member is the one I call the concerned member. The concerned member. This is the only member of the committee that is named. We know who this man was. The Bible says in verse 16 that his name is Titus. Now, if that name rings a bell to you, it ought to, because Titus was a co-worker with the Apostle Paul. Titus also has a book in your Bible that was written to him. It is one of three books that are oftentimes called the pastoral epistles. Those three books are 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. They are pastoral epistles. Why are they called that? Well, pastoral means that they are written to pastors. And epistles means they are little letters. So they are letters that were written to pastors. 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, of course, were written to Timothy, and he was a pastor in Ephesus. And then Titus was written to this preacher named Titus, and he was pastor of a church at Crete. And so they are pastoral epistles. And so whenever Paul introduces us to the first member of the committee, he says his name is Titus. Paul has a lot of confidence in him. As a matter of fact, whenever he begins that little book called Titus in your Bible, he calls him my own son after the common faith. My own son seems to mean that the Apostle Paul led him to faith in Christ. After the common faith means that he has the same faith, he has the same heart, he has the same desires as the Apostle Paul. And by the way, that's how you get the same heart with somebody, is by getting in the trenches with them and doing work with them and serving with them. You don't get the same heart of somebody by just sitting beside them in a worship service like this. You get the heart of somebody by being with them and sharing the gospel with people. So the Bible tells us that the first one was a man by the name of Titus. Let me say two things about him, because there are two reasons why I think that he is appointed to be on this committee. Number one, his care, verse 16. The Bible says that he has earnest care. The terminology there means that he has a great concern about you and about your giving. The word earnest means that he's passionate about it. He's zealous about it. That is what he's, and here's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, we're going to take up a love offering from you in Corinth, and I'm sending somebody to you who has a great concern. He has the same concern that I have. His heart was beating with the heart of the Apostle Paul. That's why he says, into the heart of Titus, that God had put it into the heart of Titus. Titus wanted to go to Corinth to receive the offering. So number one is his concern. Number two is his commitment. And the Bible says he did it of his own accord. Of his own accord means he was willing to do it. As a matter of fact, of his own accord means he wanted to do it. Of his own accord means he was eager to do that. Now hear what I'm saying to you today. When it came time to serve the Lord by going to Corinth and taking up the offering, Paul did not coerce Titus to go. He did not have to twist his arm to get Titus to go. The Bible says Titus wanted to go. It was in his heart to go. And the Bible says of his own accord, he was eager to go. He wasn't like the guy who, when the nominating committee called and said, would you be willing to serve on the stewardship committee? He was not the guy who said, well, if you can't get anybody else to do it, I'll do it. That was not his attitude. His attitude was yes. His attitude was I want to do it. The Bible says he was eager to do it. And so he accepted the exhortation. The Bible says, what do you learn about Titus and all this? I would say to you, his heart was in the right place. He had been in the trenches with the Apostle Paul. He knew what it was to serve the Lord. I think he understood his Bible. He knew the Word of God. He knew what it was to be a faithful witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here's what he did. He said, I'm ready. I'm eager. I'm willing to go. I will be on the committee. He is the one that I call the concerned man. Let me say this, and I'm going to move on to man number two. I think sometimes churches get it wrong. I think sometimes whenever we're looking for somebody to serve on the stewardship committee, you know who we look for? We look for somebody who maybe who's wealthy. Or maybe we look for somebody who is a CPA. Or maybe we look for somebody who works at the local bank. Or maybe we look for somebody who is influential. That's what we look for when we're talking about the finances of the church. That's the kind of people that we're looking for. I'm not saying those are bad. Those can be good things, but I'm going to tell you, that's not the main thing. The main thing you're looking for is somebody whose heart is right. Somebody who knows Jesus. Somebody who is a person of integrity. Somebody who has a passion to see folks come to know Christ as their Savior. Somebody who has the mission of God on their heart. Somebody who is concerned. Somebody who is committed like Titus is here today. I mean, he is a concerned man. And when I think about that, I started this last week or a few weeks ago when I was preparing this message. I began to think about folks on stewardship committees that I've served with through the years. I thought of a man by the name of Leon Whittington, first church I ever pastored. Leon Whittington, he was on that stewardship committee. He worked for the electric company. I don't remember the exact terminology, but he was one of those guys back in the days when they had wooden power poles. He would climb up those wooden power poles. He was also kind of a part-time farmer as well. That's the first church that I ever pastored. I thought of another man by the name of Paul Denny. Paul Denny was a rancher. I think he may have been an accountant on the side. But I remember whenever I was at the Amber Baptist Church, and I remember the first time I looked at him. I mean, he had that face that, I mean, he just looked like, this guy's going to be nothing but trouble. He don't like me. He's not going to like. He turned out to be one of my best friends and just a great guy. But he was on that committee. I think about a third church I went to. When I went to Fletcher, there's a man there by the name of Lonnie Minton. I'm not sure what his occupation was. I think he worked something with the government. Fort Sill Air Force Base was not far from where I lived, and so maybe he was involved in that somehow. But he was a deacon in our church. He was a Sunday school teacher in our church, and matter of fact, he still is to this very day. I think of another person when I went to the Anadarko Baptist Church. There's a lady there by the name of Carolyn Sanders. She was a CPA. I was thinking about all those people, and I just came to clear. It doesn't matter whether you're a CPA, whether you're an accountant, whether you're a farmer, whether you're a rancher. The thing that all of those people had in common was they had a heart for Jesus. They loved Jesus Christ. And they wanted to serve. They weren't having to be begged and twisting their arm. They wanted to serve. I want to tell you, that's the kind of people, that's a good kind of person to have on a stewardship committee. Secondly, look at this. There's also what I call the commendable member. That's found in verses 18 through 21. And I'll just hit this quickly today because he's the first of the two members that's not named. He's simply called the brother. The brother. Now, as Bible scholars like to do, they try to guess who this is. John Phillips, in his commentary, he thinks that it might have been Luke. Now, that name's probably familiar to you, right? Luke. I mean, he was the traveling companion of the Apostle Paul on some of his missionary trips. He was appears to be Luke's personal physician. He was always called the beloved physician. He's also the writer of the Gospel of Luke, the third gospel in your Bible. So John Phillips says it might have been Luke. John MacArthur says no. He said, I don't think it was Luke. I think it could have been Tychicus or it could have been Trophimus. Those are guys that maybe we don't know that much about. But Tychicus was a guy who was on the first missionary journey with the Apostle Paul. He was also a letter deliverer. He took some of the letters of Paul, gave them to the people. Trophimus is not even that well known. He's a lesser known companion. He's mentioned three times in Scripture. Here's my point to say to this to you today. We don't know who it was. And we can speculate about who it was, but that's all it's going to be, speculation. And so all we know is he's a brother, but there are three reasons that he's on the committee. I want you to see them in verses 18 through 21. I think these are good. Number one, he had a heart for evangelism. He was evangelistic. The Bible says, you know about him, his praise is in the gospel. Warren Wiersbe, who Bill mentioned just a moment ago, Warren Wiersbe says that I think that this brother may have been an evangelist. Not to be confused with a televangelist, but he was an evangelist, and he's on the stewardship committee. He wanted to spread the gospel, so that's one of the things that made him qualify. Also in verse 19, also his election. The Bible says he was chosen of the church. That means that the church was the one that voted on him and elected him. As a matter of fact, the word there, chosen, is a word that seems to indicate by that he was elected by a show of hands. And that's important because the church said, this is a man of integrity. This is a man that we trust. This is a man who will handle God's money properly. And then the big thing about it was they said he would also do it for the glory of the Lord. So he's on the committee because of evangelism. He's on the committee because of his election. Thirdly, he's on the committee, and this is important, because of his ethics. Look at verses 20 and 21. This is why he's on the committee, why he wanted to be on it. He said that no man should blame us in this abundance. That is, he said, I know that there's always people looking to see how do you handle the money. And he said, we don't want anybody to blame us for this abundance. Abundance is describing the offering. He said, whenever you Corinthians give, you're going to give abundance. The Greek word, by the way, means plump. It means thick. It means full grown. It can even mean fat. What he's saying is, whenever you give, I know you're going to give a very large, it's going to be a huge amount of money. And so this brother is on there because he was going to make sure that nobody accused us of mishandling the money. And in the world that we live in, you know this to be true, it can be just as bad to be accused as it is to be guilty. All you have to do today is be accused. And he said, we don't want any of that. So here's a guy who's on the committee because he just wanted to make sure we did things that were above reproach. And by the way, this is just a little sidebar. One of the reasons why Paul was doing all this was because there were some people who were being critical of Paul. Can you imagine? There were some people who were saying, well, Paul's just taking this love offering. He's going to take it back and give it to the Jews. And he's taking it up from the Gentile churches. And some of them were saying, it's because he likes the Jews. You know, he is a Jew. And he likes the Jews better than he does us Gentiles. And then some of them who were saying, no, he's taking this love offering and he's just putting it in his pockets. He's going to become rich. So they were critical of that. And so this man was going along simply to say, we're going to make sure we do everything absolutely above reproach. I think that's important. In the ministry, in the church today, it is so important that we do everything and we do it properly and we do it right. And I mentioned to you earlier today the story of a man who was a well-known televangelist who got caught with his hand in the cookie jar or whatever. He did something wrong. But if there was a ministry that you and I, many of us in this room, have known probably all of our lives, it was the ministry of a man by the name of Billy Graham. And his ministry has been above reproach. And whenever you think about what Billy Graham did early on in his ministry, whenever he started his evangelistic association, he assimilated a board of directors. The board of directors put Billy Graham and everybody in his ministry all on a salary. And then they also did an annual audit to make sure everything was above board and everything was done right. Until the day that Billy Graham died, there was never a mention of any kind of a financial scandal in Billy Graham's ministry. That's commendable, is it not? That's the way it ought to be done. That's what we want to do. We want you to be a good steward of all that you have, and as you give it, that when it comes to us, that we're good stewards of what you get. Third member is this, the confirmed member, verse 22. This is the third member. He's the final member. He's also unnamed. He's just simply called, again, a brother. And like the previous brother, it's useless for me to try to speculate about who he is. But we can also come to this conclusion that he's obviously like the other brothers. He's like Titus. He's like the first brother. He's obviously somebody that he had confidence in. And whenever I look at this third brother, there are two reasons why he's on the committee. Catch these. Look at verse 22 with me. Number one, he was proven. The Bible says he was proved. And the word means he was tested. And it means not only was he tested, but he passed the test. And the word is like taking metal, and you test metal to see whether it is pure. And what he's saying, this man, he was proven, he was tested, and he passed the test. But not only that, the Bible also says he was oftentimes tested. You catch that? It wasn't just one time. He was oftentimes tested. And every time he was tested, he passed the test. He was a proven man. This is not a place where you put someone that you're trying to find out if they're trustworthy or not. This is a place where you put somebody where they've already proven that they are trustworthy. And then number two, he was also passionate. Scripture uses the word diligent. He was diligent. It means zealous. It means energetic. It means he was earnest about it. He was passionate about this job that Paul was given to him, and he just saw it as another opportunity to pass, to take a test and to pass the test as well. And so what I'm saying to you today is that whenever Paul was taking up this offering, and he believed in his heart that it was going to be a huge offering, he wanted to make sure that whatever was given by the Corinthians and other churches for that matter, other places, he wanted to make sure that it was all handled properly. I want to say this to you today, that our church is passionate about handling your money properly. We want to take care of what you give. We want to be a good steward of. Many of you in the room today, you give online these days, but there are also some people today who still give by envelope. And whenever you give by envelope, we have a counting committee who opens every envelope and counts every dollar. I think I mentioned a little bit about this last Sunday morning, but let me say it again in case we've got some new folks here today. I do not open the envelopes. I do not look at the envelopes. I do not look at the money. I don't want to know. I don't do that. I don't look and handle the money. There are two exceptions. Number one, some of you, when church is over, have said to me, "Pastor, I forgot to put my offering in. Would you turn this in?" And I have reluctantly taken it, put it in my coat pocket. That, by the way, that's a dangerous thing for you to do, because I may forget that I put it in my coat pocket and the guy at the cleaners will get it later on. And you don't want that. And so, but no, that has not happened. But now, if somebody, I'm grateful now, because if somebody tells me that now, what I say is, we got a drop box out there. Just go put it in the drop box. I don't want to handle it. I'll tell you, I said there are two exceptions. The other exception was, you remember this thing called COVID when we were shut down? And we weren't meeting. But what happened was, and thank God for this, many of you were still faithful in giving. And you would mail in your giving. And the mailmen would come, or sometimes, and we would get it in the mail, but sometimes some of you would come to the church office and you'd put it in the mail slot in order that we might have your offering. Remember that? Some of you would do that. You know what my practice was during COVID? I'm not going to tell you everything, but what I would do at the evening when the day was over, I would watch the evening news. I had to watch Wheel of Fortune. I had to watch Jeopardy. And then I'd get in my truck, and I'd drive to the church, and I'd come open the office door just to see if any of you had put an envelope in there, because I didn't want to leave it lying in the floor, and I would pick it up and take it into the church office. Other than that, I don't look, and even at that, I don't look to see who it was from. I don't even know who would do that or what it was. But by the way, a lot of you did it. But that's what we do. We have people who take those envelopes that you have, and they open them, and they count them. And also, what we also do is, and by the way, we have godly men and godly women who are doing that. And then we have our stewardship committee, which is made up of 9 people, which, by the way, our stewardship committee, for that matter, all of our committees have 9 people on them, and there are 3 that rotate off every year, 3 new ones come on every year. Everybody serves a 3-year term. So we don't have somebody who just is there year after year after year. That's dangerous in any committee. So there's a rotation to keep different people in there. And so that we have a stewardship committee, and they meet every month, and they review the receipts and the disbursements of our church. They come every quarterly business meeting, and they give a report to our church about our finances here at the church. And every year we have an annual review to look at our giving. What am I saying to you? We're trying to do the same thing the Apostle Paul did. We're trying to make sure that if I'm going to ask you to be a good steward, we need to be good stewards of everything that you give. Does that make sense to you today? And it's biblical, right? That's what Paul did. Paul said, "You Corinthians, I want you to give. You said you were going to give a year ago. You hadn't given yet, but I know you're going to. And I'm going to send these 3 men. I call them the first stewardship committee. I'm going to send these three men. They're going to handle your money properly and make sure that nobody blames us for mishandling your fund. Now, I'm done, but I want you to look at verses 23 and 24 because they're just kind of a conclusion. It's a summary about these men. Now, what's he going to say about these men? Remember, Titus and the two brothers. Look at verse 23. Look what he calls them. He calls Titus and the two brothers, two words, partners and fellow helpers. The word partner is a word that means an associate. It actually has it comes from the Greek word that gives us the English word fellowship. Kononosis is this word. You've heard of kononia. And so it's fellowship. It's like three fellows in one ship, or three men in a tub, if you want to go that way. But anyway, they're three guys together. He said they are my partners. And then he also said they're fellow helpers. That is, they're co-workers with me. And by the way, notice he says fellow workers concerning you. And the word means fellow workers among you. What's Paul saying? He said these men are from you. They're like you. You know them. You love them. You trust them. They are my associates. They are my fellow workers. They are my partners is what he's saying. And he also said they're my messengers, which is a very interesting word because it's the Greek word that gives us the English word apostles. But he's not saying that these three men are apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, like the 12 apostles that you read about in your Bible, which means the sent ones. It's not that he's saying these are apostles of the Lord Jesus. What he's saying is they are apostles of the church. They're not sent by the Lord Jesus like the apostles you read about in the Bible, but they are sent by the church. They are those kind of men, good men, apostles of the church. They are you. They're a part of you. And by the way, those who serve on our stewardship committee, they're you. They're part of you. And then finally, his point. Wherefore? He said, I've said all that to say this. He said, show your love and your obedience to the Lord by giving an offering to these men whom you trust. Give an offering. Give it to these men. You're serving the Lord. These men are serving the Lord for the glory of Christ. You ought to be giving for the glory of Christ. And so he said, now we've done everything we can to be above board and make sure that we're handling your money properly. So now, only thing left for you to do is for you to give. Give why? So that the whole world can see that you love Jesus. Now, if you haven't heard anything else I've said this morning, please tune in and wake up your neighbor. I'm about to say something you need to hear. You're never more like Jesus than when you're giving. That's what demonstrates that you love Jesus. What's the Bible say? For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten Son. And whenever Jesus came to this world, what did he do? He gave his life on the cross of Calvary. You want to be like Jesus? Then you need to give. You want to demonstrate to a lost world that you love Jesus, then you give. This is the opportunity, Paul was saying, for you to demonstrate to the entire world that you love Jesus Christ. Let me just close by going back to verse 5, and I'll not read the whole thing, but I'll go back to verse 5 because I think sometimes people misunderstand. And there are some people who think, every time I come to stewardship and every time I come talking about money, there's always somebody that comes along and says, well, you preachers, that's all you do. You just preach about money all the time. That's all you're concerned about, money. You just preach about money all the time. Now, friend, if that's what you think about me, here's my response to that is, you're just not coming enough. Because I don't preach about money all the time. But there's also some people who have the misunderstanding that is, if I give, it's kind of like this is earning me points with God and this will help me get to heaven someday. No. Giving doesn't get you to heaven. I don't know how much money you have in your bank account, but I'm going to tell you don't have enough money in your bank account to get you to heaven. That's why in verse 5 it says, that they first of all gave themselves to the Lord. That's where it starts. And whenever you first of all give your life to the Lord, giving just comes naturally. Or maybe I should say, giving comes supernaturally. It becomes easy because you understand He gave and I want to give. So I'm going to say this to you this morning and I'm done. The last thing you need today is a tithing commitment card. The first thing you need is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you've never given Him your life, do it today. Let me say a second thing. In just a moment, we're going to sing. We're going to sing our final song. And I'm going to ask you today, if you've never given your heart to Christ, come today and give your life to Jesus Christ. Just and just come today saying, I want to be saved. Like you heard the testimony of these who got baptized. They got saved before they got baptized. And some of you today need to get saved. And then some of you need to get baptized like you saw them. You may have been saved a long time, or you may get saved this morning, but you need to be baptized as well. Some of you need to join this church today. Maybe the reason why you didn't get the email from me, because you're not a member of the church. You come all the time, but you're not a member of this church. And you need to come say, I want to become a part of this fellowship. That's why I'm saying the last thing you need today is a tithing commitment card. When you take care of all the rest of it, then as a member of Westside Baptist Church, I hope you'll sign that tithing commitment card and say, I want to be a good steward of the money that God has given to me. And if you do that, you're also saying, and I believe my church is going to be a good steward of everything that I give. Would you pray with me, please? Father, today, I thank You for Your word. And I pray that right now that You'll move up and down every row and tug at every heart. Father, there are folks in this building right now, and probably some watching online or listening by radio, who have never been saved. They don't know what it is to have their sins forgiven. And God, I pray that today would be the day that they would give their heart to You. And Father, there are some in this room today who do know You, but there's other things that You want them to do. You've brought them here, You've spoken to their heart, and now this is their opportunity to respond by demonstrating their love for You. So God, whatever that is, that's coming for baptism, that's coming to join our church, coming to sign a commitment card, whatever it might be, God, I pray that we'll do whatever You want us to do. This is Your time. Please speak. In Your name I pray. Amen. Would you join me in standing right now? Our pastors are here at the altar. God's spoken to your heart today. There's something God wants you to do, some commitment you need to make. Come tell one of these men of God about it today. You got something on your heart you want to pray about? Our altars are always open. You're welcome to come and pray. So right now, while we sing together, whatever God wants you to do, come do it while we sing.